President Biden signed a flurry of executive orders on his first day in office. As part of his early actions, he revoked the Keystone XL pipeline permit. The 1,200-mile-long pipeline that would have carried oil from Canada to the Gulf Coast had yet to be built, but has been thoroughly politicized. Our next guest has been covering what this cancellation means for the future of the oil industry and America's relations with Canada. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your reactions to this decision from the Biden administration? What questions do you have about the Keystone XL pipeline? Should we cancel pipelines, focus more on renewable energy? Are you worried about the impact that the cancellation could have on jobs? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ben LaFave is the energy reporter for Politico. He's covered the energy industry and policy for nearly a decade. Ben, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we've seen this back and forth over presidential administrations until this decision from Biden. What was the current state of affairs for the pipeline?
It had been given the green light by the Trump administration back in 2017, but even then, it still never really got off the ground. It had been tied up in court cases for the past, 3.5 years. There was an attempt to kind of get some of it built at the border. That didn't go very far. And then we had, as you mentioned, when President Biden took office, one of his first acts was basically to put the stake through the heart of it.
What were the arguments from Biden and his team about why they made this decision?
From a political standpoint, or their standpoint, it was that the pipeline, if built, would have promoted energy production in Canada, or basically led to more oil production in Western Canada out of the oil sands area over there. And the Western Canadian oil sands is a particularly kind of nasty kind of crude. You don't pump it out of the ground. You basically have to dig up out of the ground and treat it to, get it into a state where you can throw it into a pipeline. But with that said, they thought it would have promoted more greenhouse gas emissions and would have made climate change worse. And therefore, it was not in the best interest of the U.S. to have this pipeline built.
Wisconsin's Republicans in the U.S. House reacted to the decision, not happy about it. I want to give a listen to Wisconsin Representative Brian Stile talking, I think, on Fox over the weekend.
On Joe Biden's first day in office, he killed thousands of American jobs. Joe Biden killed hundreds of Wisconsin jobs. On Joe Biden's first day in office, hundreds of Wisconsin workers got laid off of their job building private sector infrastructure. Joe Biden needs to reconsider his decision immediately.
Wisconsin Representative Brian Stile speaking at a press conference, actually. What do we know about the job impact of this decision, Ben?
The job impact, it reminds me of the old saying, there's, lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics. Getting a number on the jobs is basically, you really need to define what you're talking about when you mean jobs. Company behind Keystone, TC Energy, said it was going to lay off 1,000 people because of this decision. The State Department, when it did a review of the project, I think it was back in 2014, they estimated there'd be several thousand jobs created, but they would be temporary construction jobs. Now, given, even a construction job that lasts for several months or maybe a year, you still don't like to lose it. This wasn't going to be a permanent employer of hundreds of people pretty much anywhere. I made sure to look this up before we went on the air. And according to that report, I think there was going to be like maybe 100, 150, if that, full-time permanent employees of from this pipeline. The construction jobs would have been a bigger deal, but it's hard to get a handle on how many construction jobs may have been created, especially given that the pipeline was never fully under construction in the first place.
Talking to Ben LaFave from Politico, energy reporter there, looking at the Biden administration's decision to cancel a key permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. Before we go to our callers at 800-642-1234, Ben, does this mean it's the end of the line? This is pretty much not going to happen?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting. This pipeline was first proposed in 2008. And at that time, you know, U.S. oil production was still, you know, it was seen as like almost minimal. I mean, there was, you know, real concern that the U.S. was going to run out of oil and we needed to bring in more imports. So, you know, TC Energy at that time, known as TransCanada, came in and said, well, let's build this big pipeline to bring oil from Canada into the U.S. But, you know, we had this oil boom, you know, and, you know, maybe even 4 or 5 years ago, there's been so much oil being produced out of the U.S. that even when Trump signed the executive order kind of giving Keystone XL a green light, the market kind of had moved on by that point. When TC Energy first proposed this pipeline and U.S. oil production was 5 million barrels a day, last year it was 12 million barrels a day. And most energy companies thought we don't really need to bring in that much more oil from other sources. So now that Biden has killed it this time, I don't see where any, you know, even if Biden's out in 4 years and there's a new Republican administration, there's no real need to have Keystone, you know, brought back from the dead.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Brad is with us in Fall Creek. Brad, hi.
Hi. The reason I called is I actually worked in the oil field. I worked in Wyoming and Utah and Texas, roughnecking and working on pipeline or as casing crews. That Keystone pipeline, which no one ever reports, is not just Canadian oil, because most of our oil that's drilled in the United States is drilled by foreign companies. That's to take our oil and ship it overseas. It would go to a refinery in Galveston, Texas. And I've personally spoken to people that work there. It's 48% owned by Saudi Arabia. This is why we will never see oil independence in the United States, because people don't go to the source. They don't realize that a lot of even our mines are owned by foreign companies.
Brad, thanks a lot for the call. Ben, if this had reached the Gulf Coast, would some of that Canadian oil ended up just being shipped out?
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, that was another big thing that, and I'm glad the caller brought this up. I mean, one of Canada's problems is that their oil fields are basically landlocked. And to realize as much money as they can, they need to get this oil to markets where it can be, you know, where people want it. The U.S., as I mentioned before, has been producing so much of its own oil that there's not that much room left for Canadian crude. What TransCanada really wants to do is get that oil to the coast. And there's been talks of, that a lot of it would have gone to the Gulf Coast. And as your caller mentioned, probably would have been put on ships overseas. I mean, most of the new oil coming into the U.S., either out of U.S. oil fields or, you know, from Canada, ends up going overseas because U.S. fuel demand is pretty much flat. Our refiners don't need that much more oil for domestic use. What they do like to have is, you know, a few more barrels that they can then, you know, either put on a crude ship to ship overseas to China or wherever, you know, wherever, or to refine it into gasoline or to other fuel products that they then put on a ship and ship overseas.
We're picking up our talk with Politico energy reporter Ben LaFave about the politics and practicality of new oil pipelines. On President Biden's first day in office, he canceled the permit for the proposed Keystone XL pipeline. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and your reactions, 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Vernon County. Jim, hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I wanted to ask your guest if he knew if Joe Biden had an idea of what to do with the 11,000 union employees who will be without a job.
Jim, thanks for the call. There's the debate over how many jobs this affects, but that's, and we've heard this from Canadian leaders too, that, hey, these are good jobs that we're losing out on, Ben.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I keep calling by their old name, TC Energy said in an internal email that we reported on, it'd be about 1,000 workers who they were going to lay off. Again, it's really hard to tell the numbers. I live in an area where I walk my school kids to school every day, and there were a number of months we had a natural gas pipeline being built, along their way to school. And you could see how many guys were working on it, but, you know, you'd have a group come in, level the ground, you know, they'd go away, a group come in, dig the trench, they'd go away, a group come in, put in the pipe, and they'd go away, and another group, you know, bury it back up. These jobs that are being mentioned, they're temporary jobs, and construction workers will go from one project to the next. Now, obviously, you're not going to have Keystone XL to work on, and therefore, they're going to lose out on that. But it's not like, you know, these guys are going to go not, you know, other projects will be coming in. And what Biden has done, what I thought was interesting, when he unveiled his energy plan, it was basically a jobs plan, you know, what they say they want to do, you know, but with the title energy plan on it. So they want to bring back, for instance, or they want to add union jobs to help plug up, you know, all the old oil wells that are, you know, that companies hadn't plugged up, even though they're not pumping any more oil out of them. They wanted to add union jobs for other renewable energy projects. So the Biden administration seems to be betting that they can kind of jumpstart renewable energy projects or fossil fuel cleanup projects using union jobs in a hope that they can kind of like, you know, I don't want to say paper over, but, you know, try to, you know, if you take away some with one hand, add some more jobs with the other hand.
Thanks a lot for that call. Let's go to Gloria now in Madison. Gloria, hi.
Thank you for having this. This is a great show. The fact that the XL, would that be the reservation people, the Native Americans will be real happy on this. And the other thing is, with the solar panels that we have, would that be a reason that we are decreasing the amount of oil because we are putting up so many solar panels on homes?
Thanks for the call. Ben, you wrote about kind of tough times for gas and natural gas and oil over the last 4 years and a growth time for alternative energies. What are we seeing?
Yeah, and I just want to, you know, go back to what the caller first brought up. This just wasn't environmental groups who were not happy with Keystone. This was also landowners, like in some states, who were upset about the eminent domain use that the developer used. And that's, you know, if you don't know what eminent domain is, but basically saying our pipeline project takes precedence over your private land owning. And therefore, you know, even if you don't want to allow us to use, you know, your property to build this pipeline, we're going to use eminent domain and say it's for the, you know, it's for the best if we are able to use it anyway. And so there were landowners and Native American tribes who were you know, having their land used to build a pipeline. And, you know, some of them wanted it, some of them didn't. As far as solar panels and why oil demand is, you know, kind of flatlined in the U.S., for a number of years, it's just, you know, as cars get more efficient, as energy usage gets more efficient, there's no need to keep bringing on or to keep using more oil. And that's why, you know, as the U.S. oil production has increased every year for the past decade or so, you know, the barrels that are, you know, the additional barrels being produced are going on ships and going overseas, which has been great for the U.S., you know, taxpayer. It's, you know, you get revenue out of that. But it's not like the oil itself is needed in the U.S. And that was another reason why, you know, like I said, the market had kind of moved on from Keystone. As far as renewable energy, yeah, that's also, you know, that's been like a real kind of sleeper story for the past several years where a lot of utilities who had may have been using coal or even natural gas to a certain extent to generate electricity have been turning to wind power and solar power just because it's just gotten so cheap. I mean, I used to live in Houston for a while and there were days where we would hear that there was so much wind power being produced in some areas that prices would go negative, that basically they, you know, if you were lucky enough to have a utility that was using wind power that they were getting too much. Now, that doesn't happen all over the place, and there's still problems with getting these renewable energy projects, you know, connected to the grid. But, you know, this is another reason why even natural gas is sort of starting, you know, people in the natural gas industry are starting to get worried that, you know, gee, natural gas kicked coal out of the utility, you know, generation. But now they're having to worry about renewables and battery power.
Thanks a lot for that call. In our last half minute or so, Ben, what's the next energy story you have your eye on?
We're wondering, you know, Keystone was all, you know, obviously the big one, but we're starting to wonder if there are going to be some other pipeline projects that may be, you know, taking another look at. The Trump administration was great at green lighting some projects. They were not so great at following through with it. So some of these projects they gave the okay to were legally kind of shaky and, you know, were under, you know, kind of court challenges. And we're now wondering if the Biden administration is going to say, we're just not going to defend this case anymore that the Trump administration may have, you know, brought about. So we're wondering to see if the Dakota Access Pipeline may be also under fire in the next week or so.
Ben, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Ben LaFave is an energy reporter at Politico. He covers the energy industry. He talked to us today about President Biden revoking a key permit for the Keystone XL pipeline.